Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that if it's at all possible, get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God together today. We're turning our Bible again to the book of Luke, chapter number 18. I'm reading from verse number 10 down through verse number 12 as we continue our study on the question, but preacher, why missions? The Bible said in verse number 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. We've been studying on the question, preacher, why missions, for several broadcasts now. I've given you two answers to that question. First of all, we learn from the Word of God that we must be involved in the work of missions because of the command of the Scriptures. Then second, we learn from the Word of God that we must be involved in missions because of the condition of the sinner. Now then, for the next two or three days, we're going to be looking at the third answer to that question. Preacher, why missions? And I'm dealing now with the channel of salvation demands that we be involved in the work of missions. And as I began to prepare for the broadcast today, God began to deal with my heart with a special burden that I deal in detail with this subject, the channel of salvation, the way to God. There is perhaps more confusion about the way to God than any other subject in the Bible. As I started studying this, my mind went all the way back to the beginning. Man has always thought that somehow within himself he could get himself to God, and God would accept his works or whatever he might have to offer, and God would grant him an entrance into the city of God. My mind went back to the days in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned against God. And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 3 that they made them aprons of fig leaves. They tried to hide their own sin and their own nakedness before God. Well, the fig leaf aprons did pretty good job until God came in the garden. But when they had to face God, then they realized that their fig leaf aprons of human work was not enough to cover their sin. And my friend, from Adam and Eve to this day, man has thought that somehow he could work his own work, cover his own sin, pay his own price, deliver himself from the bondage and curse of sin and the wrath and judgment of God, and somehow gain favor with God to be accepted of the Lord and go to heaven when he dies. That's manifested throughout the Word of God. Let me give you some examples before I move on in the study of the Word of God. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 4, we find Cain, who is the first liberal and the first modernist. You see, Cain and Abel had been taught by their parents that God only accepted a sacrifice which was substitutional, blood-shedding. But Cain comes with his own idea of how that he might appease God. He comes with the fruit of the ground, the works of his own hand. And friend, you would never convince me that Cain did not bring selected vegetables of the best fruit that he had. No doubt he went through the fields and he selected the best that he could bring. He did not bring God a shabby offering, but he brought the best fruit of the land. But God rejected Cain's offering. You know why he rejected it? Two things. Number one, it was not given by faith. Faith is an obedient response to the word of God. So he rejected God's way and devised his own way. And God rejected him. Number two, God rejected Cain's offering because it was not a blood-shedding sacrifice. The only sacrifice acceptable to cover man's sins was a blood-shedding sacrifice. So Cain rejects that. Why does he do it? He does not do that just to be a show-off, just to get attention to himself. But he does it because he's got a deceitful heart that has deceived him into believing that God would let him come to God in his own way. Well, I must say again, there are many of Cain's descendants, as far as spiritually speaking is concerned, in the world today. But could I just grab one verse of scripture over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse number 12? The Bible said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, friend, this thought of a way that seemeth right to man has sent more people to hell than anything that I know of. People have got in their mind that as long as they approve of what they're doing, then God will approve of it. But not so, dear friend. Man has tried all of the history of mankind to lift himself up by his own bootstraps, to lift himself up by his own do's and don'ts and works and gain a favor with God. But I want to tell you, friend, there is no way that mankind can do that. So we saw the example of man devising his own way in the life of Adam and Eve. We saw it in the life of Cain. When Israel was about to be given the law, in Exodus chapter number 19, Moses had been up on the mountain with God, and he came back down, and he said to the people what God had commanded them. And those Israelites were so bold in their own self-righteousness and in their own goodness, till they said to Moses plainly, "All that God has commanded us, we will do. We're good enough in ourselves. We can handle whatever God requires. And whatever God has commanded, we will do." Oh, did they ever fall short of that? But then you come into the New Testament, and the scripture that I read here in Luke chapter 18, verse number 10 through verse number 12. Here we have a Pharisee, and the Pharisee's philosophy was they thought that their good works would somehow gain them favor with God and gain them an entrance into God's kingdom. But I want to tell you something, my friend. Good works has never saved an individual, and good works will never save an individual. Look at this man. He's got quite a track record. He said to the Lord in verse number 11, the Bible said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are." And he describes these other conditions of other men. And he said, "I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer, and I'm not even as this publican who stands here by me." He gives a negative aspect. He's not wicked, is what he's trying to say. Then he lists his own self-righteousness and his own good works to gain him an entrance of the favor of God. In verse number 12, he said, "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." You see, there is the balance that man always tries to give. His good outweighs is bad. And he feels like somehow that if he can just come before God and get a fair trial, that he can be justified by his own good works, his works of righteousness. Then later on, as you study the history of mankind, there was the time about 318 A.D. when Constantine supposedly saw a cross in the sky, took it that that was his conversion experience, compelled his armies to be baptized, and joined together the church and state, and told them and taught the religion, which still extends to our day, that all you've got to do is have the blessings of the state upon your life. And if you're accepted by the state, you'll be accepted by God Almighty. But I want to tell you again, that's wrong. And then that led into the system that exalted Mary to be the mother of God and gave her the power to intercede with God for man. And they've exalted the papal system and make a man equal to God and give him the authority to forgive sin and forgive sinners. But I want to tell you, dear friend, this Bible said there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. I've been a long time getting down to that, but I wanted to give you all this background. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. There is one God, and there's one mediator, one go-between, between God and man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. There is no other way. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse number 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Dear friend, hear me today. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Adam and Eve tried it of their own fig leaves, but it did not work. Cain tried it with his own offering of the fruit of the ground, but it did not work. Israel said, just tell us what to do and we'll do it. But they failed miserably. The publican offers God his record of do's and don'ts, but God does not justify him in his own works of righteousness. And down through the pages of history, men has tried but failed. The Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow, I'm going to come to the Word of God and show you the only way there is for a sinner to ever be saved and justified in the sight of a thrice holy God. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust the broadcast was a blessing to you today. Let me remind you that the Harvest Time broadcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. The Lord's been so gracious to us to allow us to preach on many, many stations across the country and around the world several times a day by way of internet and shortwave. And I want to do what I can to reach the world with the gospel. I need your prayers. I need your financial support. Would you take the time out today as we leave the broadcast, pray for us, and then write to us and share with us in the financial burden. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.